Happy Friday, July the 20th, 2018. You're listening to the Grow Great Small Business Daily Brief. This is number 42. Be good, then become better. Yes, your leadership includes your behavior. Just this week, Texas Instruments said on Tuesday afternoon that CEO Brian Crutcher, he resigned for violating the company's code of conduct related to personal behavior. I'm sure in the coming days, well, we're already hearing rumors here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but I'm sure in the coming days, we will likely learn more. Crutcher had been with the company for 22 years when he was just recently appointed CEO effective on June the 1st. That's right, this June the 1st. I wasn't even on the job in that role for 2 months. Chairman and previous CEO Richard Templeton, he will resume the roles of president and CEO. And the company said this is a permanent move, not interim. Barnes & Noble, Intel, Texas Instruments. It just keeps on rolling. Bad behavior from high places. It doesn't defy explanation. Maybe power does corrupt. It certainly presents the temptation to be corrupted. Or maybe it's what you often hear said about fame or wealth, that they amplify who we really are. If we're jerks, then our jerkiness is amplified. If we're decent and upright, then that too can be amplified. Who knows? Who really cares? I'm tired of making excuses. I'm tired of hearing excuse making and explanations. Not because I don't want to understand, but because I already do. Some people behave poorly. Some always have. Some always will find a way to behave badly. Ethical and moral behavior, they're not outliers. I rather believe that they are the norm. And it's not because I'm naive. It's because I'm optimistic. We decide how we will behave. We choose. And I have no idea what the TI CEO did, but he is accountable. He's responsible. His salary was $1 million. Stock options, other incentives would have compensated him over $9 million more per year. TI is about a $15 billion company. Money can't buy wise conduct. It's priceless. With no cost of entry other than a mind made up. I'm not going to deliver an ethics lecture. What I will do is encourage all of us to behave ourselves. For 4 years or so, I coached a local college roller hockey team, and the players were good. We went to the national tournament each year. We achieved 1 year the Elite Eight. That was our best result ever. These were college guys who would hear me repeatedly admonish them with a single word, and they would often mock me, but I didn't care. I would just simply look at them and say, behave. They weren't highly compensated CEOs who had been elevated from the COO role like Brian Crutcher at Texas Instruments. These were young college guys, but they clearly understood the instruction. Well, okay, sometimes it was more of a plea on my part. Behave. I've got a grandson who is almost 3. In fact, just this Saturday, he'll be 3. He understands the command. Yeah, okay, for him, it's a command. I mean, we figure he'll learn otherwise soon enough. But until then, we're going to do our collective best as the adults and the family that surround him to instill in him that behaving is a non-negotiable, because that's just how our family chooses to roll. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to behave? It means that you do what's right. Unless we're sociopaths, we know what's right. Oh, well, okay, to be fair, I suppose even sociopaths know. They just don't care. Psychopaths, okay, well, maybe they don't know or care. But I'm not trained in these kinds of things. Doesn't matter. I'm hoping that you're neither of these things. I'm hoping you are neither a psychopath or a sociopath. Last year, there was an interesting article, though, in The Guardian. It was entitled, Crazy at the Wheel. Psychopathic CEOs are rife in Silicon Valley, experts say. Here's a quote from the article. A true psychopath is someone that has a blend of emotional, interpersonal, lifestyle, and behavioral deficits, but an uncanny ability to mask them. They come across as very charming, very gregarious, but underneath, there's a profound lack of remorse, callousness, and a lack of empathy, said forensic and clinical psychologist Michael Woodworth. The article goes on to point out how the investors and HR departments in Silicon Valley, they can protect the founder, the CEO in that area. And, well, presumably anywhere else. Now, here in Texas, high school football is legendary. Just consider Friday Night Lights. Well, first there was the book and then the TV show, and I don't know. Was there a movie? I don't know. Whatever else came about because of the book. Young high school guys between the ages of 16 and 18 who are talented enough to be scouted by major college programs, they are entitled. They've been catered to. They've been pampered. They've been bragged upon because of their skills. And some of them, no, not all of them, some of them choose to behave poorly. With some, the privileges spur even poorer behavior. And like some Silicon Valley CEOs who find protection, well, okay, these young athletes, they find it as well. We all need accountability, no matter if we're a Silicon Valley CEO, a high school football player, or a college kid playing a lower tier sport like roller hockey. Now, let me insert a note here. I do not think it's lower tier, but I'm not naive how the world views it. Beats soccer all to pieces. We can argue, we can absolutely argue that TI's board held their CEO accountable. And they did. I mean, the guy had been on the job for less than 2 months. They did hold him accountable. They do hold him accountable. But no board can hold the CEO accountable at a micro everyday level. Now, that's not to say that we need people hovering over us, constantly peering over our shoulder. But it does mean that we can all benefit from a more consistent accountability. It serves us. It makes us better. It helps us grow. It helps us improve. It's not a lack of trust. It's responsibility. It's value. My wife and I are far from micromanagers of each other. I don't keep a hawk eye on her any more than she does me. We trust each other. We respect each other. And yet we still check in with each other. We don't walk out of the house without informing each other of where we're going. We text each other when we're on our way home. These little check-ins, they are just part of our life that happened organically, really. We didn't sit down and establish these rules. We've just always existed together in mutual trust and respect. Because when we first got married, we started answering to one another in all of the best ways. It is spousal accountability. And if you don't see the value, then I offer a major proof that it works, although I'm sure there's more to it than just accountability. We have been married for over 40 years. Our growth, individually and together as a couple, has been helped with the joint accountability. Don't tell me it isn't required. Don't tell me that it doesn't work. Don't tell me that you own the joint, so you don't need it. Maybe if these dethroned CEOs would have had people in their lives who held them accountable, they'd still be in their highly compensated gigs. $10 million a year is a big financial loss. The greater loss is reputation and showing the world your lack of integrity. You can always earn more money, but regaining a good name, well, that can be really, really difficult. Listen, if you are the owner of a business, you may find the Peer Advantage by Bula Network an ideal accountability circle. You could join me and six other business owners to work on your problems, your opportunities, and your leadership. You can find out more by going to thepeeradvantage.com. I would enjoy talking with you. I would enjoy learning more about you and your business. Just visit the website, thepeeradvantage.com. That's it for this week. Be well, do good, grow great. That's the website, growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. I hope you have a great weekend. See you next week.